Our call to worship today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this time of worship. And for those that are here, Lord, we just pray that your name will be lifted up. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Lord, here on earth and under the earth and in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 11. And if you have a bookmark, I would like you to stick it in there so that you can come back to it. We're going to be looking at verses 12 all the way through 24 today. Now, I thought long and hard about preaching about such a long text. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that or not. So I decided to do it. So I hope that you're ready for an interesting ride. I love this text, and I think that you will enjoy it as we work our way through. We're not going to read it to begin with because it is lengthy, and so that's why I wanted you to keep your finger in that text, Romans 11, 12 through 24. I have an illustration from Swindoll today, and it's called An Authenticity. Authenticity. Charles H. Spurgeon, Baptist minister in London, England, had a pastor friend, Dr. Newman Hall. He wrote a book entitled Come to Jesus. Another preacher published an article in which he ridiculed Hall. Does that ever happen in the church? No, really? Pastors ridiculing other pastors? Believers ridiculing believers? He bore it patiently for a little while. But when the article gained popularity, Hall sat down and wrote a letter of protest. His answer was full of retaliatory invectiveness and outdid anything in the article which attacked him. Before mailing the letter, Hall took it to Spurgeon for his opinion. Spurgeon read it carefully, then handed it back, asserted that it was excellent and that the writer of the article deserved it all. But he added, it lacks just one thing. After a pause, Spurgeon continued, underneath your signature, you ought to write the words, author of Come to Jesus. Author of Come to Jesus. The two godly men looked at each other for a few minutes, then Hall tore up the letter and threw it away. Friends, we need to be careful. We need to be careful what we say and what we do. I'm wondering this morning, first off, how many times Christians and brothers, how often should we retaliate against each other? How often should we retaliate against each other? Second, this morning, before we get started, when a brother and sister gossips about you or writes an article about you, should you retaliate with a rebuttal? To protect your own name, maybe. Well, the message this morning talks to us as believers in Jesus Christ, belonging to the real deal. I just realized what I said. Some of you are in the dark, and that may be okay, but Lori's mother's maiden name is Deal. Deal. And so when we got engaged, Lori's mom told me that when her and Ron got married, she told him that he got a really good deal. And I thought about that for a little bit, and I said, how come I'm only getting half a deal? Jesus Christ is the real deal. It's the real deal. It's not some half shoot somewhere. So our lives ought to represent Jesus in everything we do. Everything we do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text, and as we look to you, the supporter of our faith, our encouragement, the one who feeds us, the one who clothes us, the one who gives us encouragement, and the one who gives us hope. Pray that you'll work in each heart here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two weeks ago, we talked about God's grace and how God did not reject his chosen people, and he has not rejected the Israelites. We talked about Elijah and how he thought he was the only one left to fight for God, right? And God reminded him that there were 7,000 prophets that were set aside that have not bowed the knee. In the same way, today, God has a remnant of Christians called Gentiles, saved for faith in Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about God's sovereignty. We talked about how some hearts have been hardened from God because they have turned their backs on him and living their own way. Someday in the future, the Israelite nation will come back to Jesus. But for now, the remnant is the Gentiles, us. We ended last week with Romans 11, verse 11 and 12. I say then, they did not stumble as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world and their failure to riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Now, the hope is that the Israelites will come to faith in Jesus. That's Paul's hope. The Jewish nation is hopefully will become envious of our faith. Are you living a life where someone would be envious of your faith? Or is it just like everybody else? Romans 11, starting with verse 12 today, first four verses. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you as those who are Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of Gentiles. I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some from them. If their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Paul's primary ministry was to the Gentiles. But what was he? He was Jewish. But God called him to preach to the Gentiles. But his hope that somehow in the process his fellow countrymen would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Have you ever done anything in your life with the hopes that somebody would follow your footsteps and do the same thing? How many parents are in the room? I remember trying to teach our kids how to put their toys away. Yeah, whatever. I think my kids said, look, we trained daddy to put our toys away. We want our kids to put their toys away. And so what do? We teach them. And that's what Paul's doing. He's teaching the Gentiles with the hopes of saving some fellow Jews along the way. Years ago, when our kids were small, I would allow them to come into my wood shop to help me. My tools always ended up in a different place, and I never, ever could find them. The problem is, it still happens. At the end of this section, Paul has a very good point here. Listen to this. For if their rejection is reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? God has rejected, for now, the Jewish nation because they have turned their back. And so they are like being dead, but when they come back to him, what's it going to be like? Like they're coming back to life. Now, I know many of you do not have a checkbook anymore. You do all your banking online. How many do your banking online? How many have checkbooks? Most of them? Okay, good. You know, here's the deal. What is reconciliation? What's that mean? You have to reconcile your checkbook. What your balance is at the end of the month it should be the same as the bank, right? They need to reconcile. They need to be the same. And if it's not, some people would just make it the same. I have a story, and I may have shared it in the past, a few years back, and I can't remember if I did, but it's a story about a husband and wife who had some financial difficulties. So one day, the banker called George up and said, George, your wife overdrew on your account again. Again. Oh. So being a patient man, he went and talked with his wife. Martha, he said, writing checks is easy. You start with the balance at the beginning of the month, and when you write a check, you subtract it from the balance, and when you get to zero, you stop writing checks. Well, George thought that she understood, but 2 months later, the banker called him up. George, your wife overdue on the account again. Now, George is a patient man, but she needed to be taught a lesson. He went and talked to her again and said, now, Martha, if you can't get this straight, there needs to be restitution. There needs to be restitution. You know what? George didn't see Martha for about 2 days. And when the swelling started going down in his left eye, he saw a glimpse of her. Our checkbooks need to balance. They need to be reconciled. But how does that relate to God's reconciliation? We need to be reconciled to him. Here's the deal. We are all sinners. And we deserve to die. But God has paid the price. He reconciled it for us. All we need to do is believe in him. The Bible says, if you believe in me, that I was raised again on the third day and died for your sins, you will be saved. Reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and the new things have now come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, as we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So as those who do not believe in Christ are dead, when they come to a saving knowledge of him, they become much alive. They're reconciled. They're reconciled. Then we have verse 16. If you still have your Bibles open, verse 16 sort of is, to me anyways, it's stuck in the middle of a discussion, and it doesn't belong there. But it introduces what's coming next. It says, if the piece of dough is holy, the lump is also, and if the root is holy, the branches are too. Paul's introducing a very important principle here. If you have a little chunk of dough and it's taken off of the lump, is it the same as the lump? Yes. If you have a branch, if you have a branch, it's the same as what came from the root. Am I right? It's the same thing. The root is there. So what he's saying is, if the root is holy, then the branch is holy. What's your foundation today? What is your root system made of? Is it Jesus? If you belong to Jesus and that's your root and you are a branch, then you are holy. You are whole. Let's read it. It's an incredible text. Romans 11, 17 through 21. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive, he's talking to the Gentiles now, calling them a wild olive, you were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant toward the branches. Don't be arrogant toward the Jewish people. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will then say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand on your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Now, I have a little bit of a horticultural background, not in ranching or farming, but with the plants and that sort of thing. I've seen and experienced this once. Taking a branch off of a plant and moving it over to this plant and cutting in and grafting it in, it's really cool, especially if it takes. And all of a sudden is now being supported by a different root system, and it grows and it flourishes. And that's what he's talking about here. Gentiles were grafted in to the real deal, whereas the Israelites were cut off and thrown away, but not forever. And we're going to get that in a moment. So it might be tempting for us to say, as Gentiles, to the Jewish nation, I got your free gift. I got the free gift that you deserve, that you by rights have, right? As God's chosen people. And so it would be easy for some to be conceited and say, look what I got. I got your gift. You don't belong here at all. Part of the family of God. And Paul says, don't be conceited, but if I can get rid of a natural branch, the Israelite, I certainly can do it to you too. Kind of a sobering thought. Romans 11:22, behold then the kindness and severity of God. Did you hear that? The kindness and severity of God. God is both just and righteous. Behold the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will be cut off. Now, the text before this talks about fearing God. Be fearful of God. And this isn't the kind of fear that you're like, you know, you're scared all the time. It's kind of like a fear. Well, let's put it this way. I believe that I kind of kept on the straight and narrow for fear that what might happen at home if I disobeyed. Okay? I had a healthy respect of my parents. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, and praise endures forever. And in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in the hell. The last two verses, reconciliation. Verses 23 and 24. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. Talking about the Jewish nation again. If they come back to faith, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. If you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to the nature into the cultivated tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So, today, if you are feeling sort of rejected, if you are feeling like God, there's somehow a wall between your prayers and God's prayers, I would encourage you, God has not rejected you. He has grafted you in. He loves you and he will not forsake you. Develop that relationship with him. Trust him. He has the root system. Are you taking on the nutrients of a solid faith? Hebrews 13:5-6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Follow Jesus, turn to him, accept his free gift by accepting his son and the work that he did on the cross. Amen. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both in the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him all are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Have a good week.